I lived in that place of compassion way too often, way too much. Like I would hear my kids say, I don't want to hear your perspective. Like, oh, now I recognize I needed to be a lot more in that empathy space, just being with them and letting them feel their feelings, which was, again, we parent, nobody teaches us how to parent. We parent based on the way we were parented and in response to that.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Jennifer Boudreau. Welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So what I do is I support people in getting over their misunderstanding and confusion about LGBTQ plus identity. So most of the folks that I work with are parents that think that they are open, welcome allies, and then their own kid comes out and causes some feelings. So the reason I do this work is I was in education as a school librarian in a variety of different roles for many, many years. And I have three adult children. One is my son is my baby, who's turning 28 next month. Is proudly bisexual, and my partner has a son who is trans. And so I have been involved in LGBTQ plus advocacy work for quite a long time. And as I worked and, received my certification and parent coaching, trying to figure out who I could best serve, it really became clear that serving parents of LGBTQ plus youth was the right place to be.
Isn't it funny how your specialty kind of picks you sometimes?
Yeah, it does, for sure.
So I want to hear more about what you said in the beginning, which was that parents who believe they are supportive of the community, and then their child is part of the community, and now they're not okay with it. Can you say that surprises me? My thoughts would be that it would be unsupportive to unsupportive, but not supportive to unsupportive. So
yeah, it is surprising. So folks who are unsupportive and unwilling to even entertain the idea of supporting their child are not really going to be open to the support, right? And the coaching. Increasing who their child is going to become. We have our own idea and our own. So it is surprising. But parents who are not going to be supportive of their child coming out as queer are not going to be open to the support and the information, right? The reality is every single human being on this earth has internalized intrinsic bias based on everything that we experience, right? And the example that I give is my bonus son is a dad, and he's married to a cisgender woman. And when they found out that she was pregnant, they went through and, got the sonogram, and he proudly announced, "It's a boy." And I was like, "Is it?" Because as a trans man, of all people, you know that penis does not necessarily mean boy, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it is so ingrained in all of us. And so when parents are out there supporting the world and supporting the LGBTQ plus community, it's very easy when it's external, right? It's outside. When it is your child and it faces you to recognize that your child is not who you thought they were going to be or who they are, stuff comes up that you're not even aware that you have. And so that's really what I do, is dig to help unravel a lot of that intrinsic bias and recognize it's okay to have feelings. It's okay to be like, what is this? So it's, yeah, it is. We all have it.
So what's, absolutely. Like the whole, you know, we're all kind of adjusting to the new normal. And, you know, the way that I kind of understand it all is I believe that we all have masculine and feminine inside of us anyway. And we are programmed based on our external genitalia, and some people don't feel right inside that body. I know there's a lot of pushback, and I'm just being curious, like, what's the process that a parent goes through? So their child confides in them, or they find out, and then what do they do where they end up in front of you?
They freak first.
Okay.
Now what, right? And there's a lot of Googling. There's a lot of, are you sure? And then hopefully they come across me, because I am a place where they can come and ask all of the questions and feel all of the feelings. So there is a whole process of coming out, right? It's based on the CAS model of coming out. There are about six steps. And parents go through a process of just shock, first of all, right? Not in being sure that this is who their child is. And then you go, you know, slowly go through and get to a place where you're like, okay, this is possible. And then they're like, but maybe it's just temporary, right? Maybe it's a phase. I'll be okay with this for a minute. And then as they get to learn more and more, and they get to know who their child is and truly believe who they are when they tell them, is they get to a place of acceptance. And then often you see a spike in pride and rainbows everywhere. And then you settle into a place of, this is just part of who my child is, right? So there's really a process that goes through. My process, and the reason my company is called Parent with Care, is CARE stands for compassion, awareness, respect, and empathy. So compassion is that place where we want to fix, we want to help, we want to, you know, save our kids. But we do that from our perspective of what is needed and what is right. So as we become more aware of who our children actually are and the reality that they're an autonomous, independent human being, and we learn more about their identity, and we're moving into a place of respect, which really is going to solidify that place of safety, recognizing where the boundaries are, what I have influence over versus what I don't. And then we can move into a place of empathy, which is really just, I don't have to understand what you're experiencing, but I'm here with you. I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just here with you. So that's the whole process. And it repeats over and over.
I would imagine it's similar to the grief process. You mentioned different steps, but I imagine it kind of follows along that same kind of path. And what you said that I think is important for all parents, whether you're dealing with whatever you're dealing with, is that our children are autonomous from us, and they are their own person and not an extension of us. And one thing that I heard a parent say recently was, my child is not my report card. And I think
that's a hard one for a lot of parents.
Yeah. Especially if you're raised that way, where you were a report card for your parents, that's the standard that you had to live up to, you know, air quotes, but that you did live up to or didn't, and then that affected the relationship with your parent. I've been listening to a lot of celebrity autobiographies, and that is like an underlying theme where when the parent is the one that's kind of driving the celebrity, there's a lot of connection between you're an extension and slash or reflection of me. And so that's something that we got to think about as parents. Like, are they, they're not extent. I'm not even going to ask the question. They're not extensions of you.
No. And I think, and this is where I start with a lot of parents, which is like, what is your vision for your children? Right. And figuring out whether their vision for their child is a reflection of them or allowing their child to be who they are. Right. And really, you know, letting the parent get to a place where they can see that, the, you know, they're, the, what are the basic things we need to make sure, right? Are they going to be safe? And for a lot of queer kids, that is the number one fear, right? Are they going to be safe? And then what does happiness look like for them? Right. I have, as I said, I have three adult children. One has decided they don't want to have kids. And, you know, that makes me sad. I would love to have a bazillion grandchildren, but that's their choice. Right. You know, another is in a vocation that, you know, my son is a classical opera singer trained, and I hate opera. I hate it. That's his choice. He loves it. And that's what makes him, you know, really, really happy. So, you know, are they safe? Are they going to be able to be independent? Right. That is a huge measurement to me. Can they pay their own bills as adults? And, you know, are they going to be able to find their happiness?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very sad. And I'm sure that it happens in the LGBTQ plus community more than, or at the same amount as, if not more than, you know, where my dad grew up, and his dad was like, no, you don't get to be an artist. You have to do a real job. And the way that that affected my dad's parenting is that he was so like the opposite spectrum of so hands off, like, to, I'm not even going to give you advice of any kind, even if you ask. So there's a happy medium, I think, in between the two extremes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where it's interesting. A lot of, you know, those of us who are in helping worlds, I think we are doing this work in response to what we experienced and what we observed, right? So when I originally started working in wanting to be a parent coach, it's because I had some really problematic parenting, you know, parented experiences, right? So I tried raising my kids in very different ways, realizing, oh, wow, I made a lot of mistakes too, right? And when I talk about the care process, I realize now when my children are adults, I lived in that place of compassion way too often, way too much. Like I would hear my kids say, I don't want to hear your perspective. Like, oh, now I recognize I needed to be a lot more in that empathy space, just being with them and letting them feel their feelings, which was, you know, again, we parent, nobody teaches us how to parent. We parent based on the way we were parented and in response to that. So we all need a lot more help.
We need a lot of help. yeah, parenting is one of the most interesting jobs that we'll ever have, because it's on the job training and it's like super crazy important, and there is no right way of doing it, because if you have two kids, both of those kids are going to be so different from each other. You can't even really parent your kids the same.
No. And you don't, and you're not the same parent to each of your children. And, you know, this is where I get often, you know, I raise these X number of children and how is this one? And like, because they're, again, it goes back to, they are an individual human being. You can't control them, right? We talk a lot about parenting with versus parenting over, and, you know, being who your child needs you to be.
Do you find, religion a factor with the parents that you're that do end up reaching out to you?
Yeah, and even if they're not active church goers, there is still that embedded, you know, belief system. And this is where I will always pull out, my middle daughter is an ordained Lutheran pastor, and her husband is an ordained Presbyterian pastor. And I have it on their very good authority that God loves everyone, period, the end. Yeah. So again, we'll, you know, there's a lot of deconstructing that has to happen. And the, you know, if folks are able to acknowledge that what they have learned from church is learned, it's not innate, right? It's information that you've taken in and accepted. You can unlearn that. And there are a lot of churches that are very affirming and welcoming to LGBTQ plus people. So if we can get, again, down to the basic component of who your child is as a human being, we can be okay.
I love that. My dad was also a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor specifically. So that made me smile.
Yeah, you're a pecan.
Yeah, he was very open. You know, none of my siblings are in the community, but he was very accepting of some friends of mine that that came from the church. And it is such a fascinating balance and delicateness. Like when I think of babies, like when my son came into the world, like it felt like he had a personality already. And so I like, that's why I believe, you know, we are souls in a body and we probably have been here before and we're learning stuff and we're trying new things and we want, like, we're here to learn and grow and explore, and we all have our own path. And sometimes our parents being the way that they are is part of the path. It doesn't take away the pain if it's a hurtful part of the path, but it is part of the path. How do you work with the or do you at all work with the children of the parents that come?
I don't. I really focus with the parents, because they're the ones that need the information and the guidance. And I think it, you know, what you said is so true, right? Each of our kids come into the world as themselves. And statistically, in the research shows that children know their own gender by age 3. And children know their own sexual orientation by around 12, right? As the onset of puberty. So again, we go back to the messaging, the social conditioning that we have. If a child knows their own identity at age 3, and it's other than what we've been assigned, you know, what we've assigned to them, if they have parents that are supportive and open to that, then, you know, there's a very strong possibility that they can live life as a trans child. If they're getting conditioning, even if they're not aware, you know, our parents aren't aware of it, that, you know, you were born a boy, you're a boy, that is who you are, then that can cause some conflict. And I, you know, I'll give another couple of examples. So my son, I knew very early on, was not straight. And it didn't, you know, have an impact on me. I was like, cool, I grew up in the 80s, pick a team, you're either straight or gay, right? Well, when he was 19, he was away at college, and he was referred to as the F slur on campus. And he wrote a very articulate op-ed in response to that. And in that article, he came out as bisexual. And I was like, what? What is bi, right? He's now, again, almost 28. I've learned some things, and, you know, I now understand. But we were talking a few months ago about his coming out process and the fact that he didn't really have to come out, right, as queer. But he acknowledged to me that my pick a team mentality really had caused him to hide his bisexuality from himself and from me, right, until, you know, much later. That's painful as a parent to recognize that even though I thought I was being supportive, the messaging that I was giving was problematic. And, you know, we've done the repair work and we're good. But even when you have the best of intention, right? And I have another client who was, they have a child who came out as lesbian, as a later teen, and that it didn't go well with the family. And now child number two is showing signs of being non-binary, perhaps trans. And the parent is like, I don't understand. You know, we're fine now with the older child and everything is good. I'm like, yeah, but remember what that younger child saw and experienced, right? Mm-hmm. There, you did some damage there. You put some messaging in place that this was not okay. And so it may take them time to get to a place where, you know, they're going to be feel safe to be open.
That makes a lot of sense. And as you were talking, I remembered that one of the chapters in my book was written for a mom who felt guilty about her, I believe her daughter came out later as a lesbian. And I haven't circled back to see if that's evolved at all, but it was very clear at the time when she and I talked that when her daughter would go to church, she would insist that she wear a dress, and her daughter didn't want to wear a dress to church. And because she came out, the daughter came out at 18, her mom looked back and was like, oh, there, look at all these signs. I should have known, right? And so that's what guilt does, is we have this looking back wisdom and then beat ourselves up for not doing something about the thing that we didn't even notice or know yep. about back then, that we're just following our own programming, right? Because we've yep. all been programmed in some way, shape, or form, and we're seeing the world through our own programming.
Yep. And that's like my favorite Maya Angelou quote. You do the best you can until you know better. And then when you know better, you do better. Right. And it's never too late to go back and repair. And so, you know, again, my own personal experience, my partner and his son began his transition at about age 25. And there were some things that got really bumpy, and it led to a period of no communication for a couple of years. And as I started to coach without him knowing it, my partner, and, you know, kept continuing with trying to open communication. They've been able to get to a place now several years later where everything is wonderful and they are very, very close and it's all good. But it really came down to, you know, acknowledging that damage had been done and working to repair it. And it's interesting watching people do that reflection back, right? I have a friend who started her transition at age 55. And is able to look back and go, you know, if we had only known. And I think this is one thing that comes up very often is, you know, is this a social media trend? Is just, you know, everyone's doing it. And the reality is that the number of people that identify as queer has always existed, right? It's now that we have more language to describe more shades of the rainbow, right? And we have more visibility is allowing more and more people to come out and acknowledge their identity to themselves and to the world.
There's more, I don't know if reciprocity is the right word, but there's more like resonance, you know, mm-hmm. There's, you know, they know there's a feeling and they hear this person had that same feeling and this is the solution. And what's important is that we take the time to understand ourselves and explore ourselves. What's creating this feeling and make decisions based on the exploration of what feels right.
Yeah. That's another thing that a lot of parents get very frustrated by is my kids told me that they're non-binary last week. And now, you know, this month they're telling me they're trans. I don't understand, right? Again, first of all, it is a, especially with adolescents, there is a time of exploration, right? Mm-hmm. Of figuring out who they are. And there's also that place of, you know, non-binary might be safer and feel safer for some. Trans is, you know, putting a line in the sand saying, this is the, you know, this is who I am completely other than. And that's hard sometimes for kids. It's hard for parents. You know, it sometimes kids are unaware that they're giving their parent that safe, you know, scaffolding. And it's just, you know, again, I want to, when we were talking about the intrinsic internal knowledge of who you are, right? And I will often, you know, ask people, so I'm going to ask you, are you left-handed or right-handed?
Me, I'm right-handed.
Seriously asking. You're right-handed? Yeah. Yeah. How do you know?
Because I write with my right hand. It feels more comfortable with my right hand.
You automatically pick it up, right? If I handed you and asked you to write with your left hand, it would feel just off. You might be able to do it, but gender identity, sexual orientation is that same intrinsic knowledge of yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we ask people to like prove it, right? How do you know? It's just, I know myself. And, you know, again, parents trusting that their child knows themselves better than they know their child is hard.
And we have a biological need to belong and desire to belong. And so if you're around, if as a child, you see your parents saying, you know, derogatory things, or even just matter of fact things like it's a boy, then you're going to deny that I'm right-handed because my parents think that I'm left-handed. Or my parents don't like people who are right-handed.
Yep.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
Is there a piece of advice that you want to share with parents listening?
Believe who your child tells you that they are in this moment.
Yeah.
Right. And if your child comes out to you, three things I want you to do. One, say thank you. Thank you for trusting me. Because not every kid is going to come out to their parents. The second thing that I want you to say is who do you want to know and who do you not want to know? Right? Because that child, you might be the only person that that child feels safe telling. The third thing is, what do you need from me right now? And the kid may not know, right? But they might need information. They might need a hug. They might need, you know, you to help tell someone else. And I will say the fourth thing, this always goes, you know, without saying, is I love you. Mm. Not I love you no matter what, because putting that conditional means this thing you've just told me isn't okay. And so I'm going to have to get over it. It's just, I love you.
Yeah. I actually tell my son I love you no matter what all the time.
Right? Because sometimes, yeah. Like, if they're being little jerks, like, I love you no matter what, even if you act like a jerk. But that conditional piece around identity is, it's really important to just hard stop, I love you.
Where can our listeners find you?
So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and the web, and it's always Parent with Care. All one word. The other thing I just wanted to mention, and that might be a good resource for your listeners, is I have just launched recently a resource, queercampfair.com, which is an internet directory listing of all of the LGBTQ+ affirming camps that I can find in North America. So if folks go there and find that I'm missing a camp, please let me know. But my website is www.parentwithcare.com. Or www.queercampfair.com.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the world and how you're supporting parents, because it's not parenting isn't easy and they need all the support that they can get.
Well, thank you so much for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So that we'll have another episode of Imperfect Mommying for you all next week. And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Mommying. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alysialyons.com. See you next time.